Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there. Welcome to this Racing Post weekend postcast. I'm James Hill, and joining me in the studio is Graham Rodway. And on the line, we have David Jennings and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. And what a weekend we have in store. A proper doubleheader. At Doncaster, we've got St Ledger Day and Irish Champions weekend as well. Quality everywhere you look and plenty to look at, so we'll crack on with it immediately. Six races on ITV on Saturday, and let's begin with the opener on Townmore. That's a 150 at Doncaster, the William Hill Portland Handicap. Famous old race, first run in 1855, real cavalry charge. Niall, take us away with the betting.
Yes, we're an extra place in this race, and Bielsa is our 6-1 favourite. Muttmere is 8-1, Just Another Bottle 9-1, A Moment of Madness 9-1, Oxhead 10-1, Dazzling Dan 10-1, and 12-1 Bar.
Excellent. Right, G-Rod, nice easy one to start with.
Yeah, we've got a million races, haven't we, coming up, really top class day. And this is one of the toughest ones to get going. I mean, Bielsa was wildly impressive when he won at first last time. The time looked pretty solid. Looks like he could make up into a group walks, but he's only run three times. As you said, this is a right old cavalry charge. It's going to be a test for him for such a lightly racing inexperienced horse. So I thought it was worth taking on at the price. And the one that I liked was last year's winner, A Moment of Madness, who won it last year off a mark of 99, has dropped back down to a mark of 95, and has been running himself into form recently, I thought. And last time out, York stayed on quite nicely to finish sixth in a big field handicap there. If he can build on that, then A Moment of Madness is handicapped to win this for a second year in a row.
Excellent. A Moment of Madness to repeat his victory from 12 months ago. Interesting, last four winners here have been up with a pace, or if not made all. Are you going to go with a prominent racer here, DJ?
Yeah, I can see where Graham is coming from with A Moment of Madness, because I'm convinced that William Buick is the man for this horse. Last three wins have been with Buick aboard, and I do think the course at Doncaster really suits, and as you said, it plays to race prominently. It's a case of if he breaks, he needs to ping the lids. If he does ping the lids, I think he'd be bang there. I would give a shout out to a horse we all tipped on the podcast last week, Marnie James, who I just thought got caught on the wrong part of the track at York. No problem back over five. And I thought you could upgrade his performance last Sunday. I thought he ran better than where he finished. And Dakota Gold is probably the most rapidly improving sprinter in training. So Marnie James at around 16-1, I think he'll go well each way. And my second choice would be Graham's choice, A Moment of Madness.
Okay, Marnie James with DJ. Niall, what's your selection?
Yeah, I quite like Conchek here for Clive Cox. He's run 12 times in his life, three times over five furlongs as a two-year-old, and then he was stepped up to six furlongs, but his form kind of tailed off a little bit. I think it was a combination of he had a breeding issue, and I'm not really sure six furlongs is his trip. He actually came back to form last time at Newmarket in what I think is a very good race. He actually went way too hard from the front that day. Just to put that into context, he actually ran the fastest first three furlongs over six furlongs run at Newmarket this year, which will just kind of tell you how hard he went off. He's off 98 here, but I think he's a horse of much more ability. And like you were saying earlier, I think the front runners are at an advantage over this course and distance at Donny. Yeah, I think he'd be relatively prominent. He's drawn four, which is a draw I like. So yeah, he looks a big price. He's 25-1 in places where 18. I'll be back in him each way.
25-1 shot for Niall there. Right, moving swiftly on to the next televised race. And we'll head to Chester for the 205. It's a Sportpesa Stand Cup Stakes listed race. And quite a tasty little contest on the Rudy, Niall. How do you mark it up?
Yeah, so Ben Brackey is our 11-8 favourite. Manuel at Vega 11-4. Thurston 4-1. Sexton 6-1. And Grace in Danger 7-1.
And we'll go with you first here.
Yeah, I'm quite keen on Manuela de Vega here. She was a bit disappointing last time, though. I think that was a decent race, and it wasn't really run to suit her. Her form when second to Medellin, given her £3, is probably the strongest in offer here for me. And the slightly softer ground and drop and trip could also benefit her. And yeah, I just don't think this is the strongest race. Like, I like Thurston, but I was a bit disappointed in him last time, having travelled well. Ben Brackey, not really sure his run style would suit here. He can be a bit in and out at times as well. So yeah, Manuela de Vega for me.
Okay, DJ, do you agree with that?
Kind of, yeah. I think she'll run well. I'm going to give Durston one more chance. I'm slightly more forgiving than Niall. I just think Chester will suit better than Newbury did. And Jamie Spencer aboard, you know, he's a typical Jamie Spencer horse. Like, if you go back to his run in June, Spencer was aboard, put, kind of held up out the back, kind of went through a gap and got up close home. And it was a similar story. Well, it tried to be a similar story at Goodwood, where he was just outbattled by Sir Ron Presley. Like, he traded quite short and running at Newbury last time. Maybe that was an extended mile and five, and maybe he just didn't quite get home. I think this easier track at Chester, where they're turning, he'll be concentrating a little bit more. I can certainly see him being the last off the bridle. And if Spencer can do a Spencer special, I think he might just get up this time. So Durston for me.
Durston for DJ. G-Rod, it's always really important, the draw here at Chester, isn't it? Are you looking at a low drawn runner?
Yeah, not so much in this race. Obviously, only got five in it, but certainly you do need to be drawn low usually at Chester. I agree with DJ here on Durston. I thought he ran very well at Goodwood when he was beaten by Sir Ron Priestley. He made up an awful lot of ground from a long way off the pace and did a lot of running to get to Sir Ron Priestley, and Sir Ron Priestley turned him away when he got there. But Sir Ron Priestley ain't no mug, is he? I mean, he's a lively outsider for the ledger itself and has since gone on to winning group company. And then I don't think last time was a poor run at all. I thought it was a career best effort, really, for Durston. And I think what happened in that race was him and Mirando, they really got racing quite early. They sort of locked horns about two furlongs out to a furlong out, and they both kind of got a bit mugged by a Technician, who again is another lively outsider for the ledger. So I think that Durston can take another step forward, a course and distance winner for David Simcock and Jamie Spencer.
Excellent. Two for Durston then. Right, back to Doncaster now for the 225. This is the Herd Rail Group Park Stakes, Group 2 contest over seven furlongs. And what's the betting here, Niall?
Yeah, so this is our money back special race. So it's money back and all losers if Shine So Bright wins. And he's our 5-4 favourite. Herjo Man is 11-4. Their Dancelot is 5-1. Never No More, 13-2. Zano, 10-1. And Breton Rock is 20-1.
Quite a tricky little contest. DJ, where do you side with here?
It's funny, there's only six runners in this race and it's 5-4 to field. So listeners will be thinking this is relatively straightforward. This is the one race I couldn't figure out. I really couldn't make head nor tail of it. Shine So Bright, would I back Shine So Bright at 5-4? No. Turgeman, wouldn't be surprised if he won. Would I back him at his price? No. Sir Dancelot's a bit in and out. Never No More was very unlucky at Arlington, deserved to be finished a lot closer, was hampered at a crucial stage. Would I be shocked if Never No More won? No. So that's a long-winded way of saying I actually don't fancy anything. If I was pushed and I'd need to be properly shoved, it would just about be Sir Dancelot at the prices, but I've no strong opinion.
No strong opinion from DJ. G-Rod?
Yeah, I have a strong opinion, and I agree with DJ on Sir Dancelot, but I'm a lot more confident about it than DJ is. I think he's a really good horse on his day on quick ground over seven furlongs, which are his absolute optimum conditions. He's going to get that at Donny here. And I know he was beaten behind Shine So Bright last time, but you're trying to give the horse £8 Shine So Bright. And that race, nothing came from off the pace in that race. Lawrence and Shine So Bright were up there the whole way and had a battle. And Sir Dancelot did really well to come from, I think, second last to finish fifth. I think he certainly did best of those that were held up. He's got a £4 pull in the weight, so I think that he can reverse that York form, Sir Dancelot.
You think it's easy coming from behind at Doncaster this week? A lot of horses seem to be winning from the front or close to the front.
It does seem to be a bit like that, but I've seen it so many times in the past, Jimmy, where you get horses and the jockey, it gets in the jockey's head, you know, they go, oh, they're all coming from the front, you know, we need to be on the front end. And then before you know it, they're all going off too fast because they want to get up there in the lead. It can be a bit of a self-fulfilling thing in the end. So I'm not too concerned.
Okay. Niall, what do you think?
Yeah, I was very confident about Shine So Bright here. Do you think he looks a certainty? I'd probably make him a shade of odds on myself. This is as big as 11-8 out there at the moment. He obviously had a big break before that York run where he went really hard from the front. I thought it was remarkable that he stuck it out with Lawrence chasing him down. The overall time for that race was exceptional. It was about a second faster than the next fastest seven furlongs run at York this year, which is about five lengths. You kind of expect that considering the grade, but yeah, I thought it was very good. It just looks a big effort to me. I actually think he'd have the potential to be one of the best seven furlong horses in Europe if he improves again from that run, with the foray an obvious target at the end of the season. So yeah, Shine So Bright for me. I'd be surprised if he's beaten.
Okay. Shine So Bright for Niall. Right, we're going to go to the all-weather now. It's at 2:45 at Chelmsford, the Ludexa.com Elsenham Handicap. And what's the betting here, Niall?
Yeah, War Glory is our 9-2 favourite. Lethal Lunch is 5-1. Diocles of Rome is 5-1. Above is 15-2. Rabelais is 9-1. Piece of History 9-1. Turn and Twirl 9-1. And 10-1 bar.
What do you make of this, Jira?
I quite like this race, but then I do like a lot of races at Chelmsford. It is my track. I do tend to back plenty of winners there. So in the 2:45, yeah, Zap for me for Richard Fahey. And this one, well, Fahey was very, very positive about Zap coming back to form before he ran at Goodwood 2 runs ago. And he did run really well in that race, but he didn't really come right back to form. We finished 5th. But when you look at the race, it turned out to be quite a strong race. Salute the Soldier was 2nd. That's won twice since. The 3rd, Lyndon B's, held in very high regard by George Scott. And actually, looking back, that might not have been a bad effort to finish 5th in that contest from Zap. Last time out, he ran at the Curra, but he was drawn out wide in the Irish Cambridgeshire behind Jassar, and he just got caught on the outside and ran on to finish in the midfield. I didn't think that was too bad a run over a mile as well. I think we're back down to 7 furlongs here. So Zapp's only run once at Chelmsford, which is always a slight concern for me because it is a tight old track around there and you do need a bit of knowledge, which is the one reason why I'm not tipping Arbelay, because I think Arbelay's really well handicapped, but he doesn't have any course form at least. Zap has had a look around there and I think his last 2 runs have suggested he might be coming back to form, and he is well handicapped on his best efforts.
Okay, Zap for Giro. Do you agree with his assessment, Niall?
No, I really like one here. Piece of History returns to the all-weather for the first time since running a very big time behind Auxerre in October last year. He didn't return until Doncaster in July this year, where he seemed badly in need of the run after the break. They then ran him in a good race at Newbury on soft ground, which he clearly doesn't handle. He still shaped quite well for a long way. Just when he was asked for his effort, he just couldn't pick up. He drops back to 7 furlongs here around a track that should suit. And he's back in 89 at the mark. He finished 2nd to Auxerron with plenty of winners in behind. I think if you look at the form of that race, it was one of the hottest handicapped run at Kempton last year. The time as well, I think it was like the fastest mile run in Kempton in over a year, the last time I checked. He definitely looks back to me. I think he's 11-1 in places where 9, but yeah, quite like this.
Okay, strong thoughts from Niall there. DJ?
I thought I'd kind of found one here at a big price. Breathless Times having his first start for Stuart Williams, having left Roger Charlton. And an absolute all-weather specialist this Breathless Times is. And just if you go back through some of his old form, there's a suspicion that he's seriously well handicapped off 95. Like, I think he's a bit better than that. I think that he won in this card last year over 6 furlongs. I think he probably needs 7 these days. The worry is the draw. When I seen the entries, I was just praying he'd have a single figure draw. He's drawn out with Saul 13. But I think he does have a bit of class. He hasn't ran since May. I presume he's been kept fresh for an autumn campaign. And he's a hood and a tongue strap on for the first time. So I just thought this was the race that Stuart Williams does so well with these type of horses that come after being a little bit disappointing. Callum Rodriguez takes the ride. And at a big price, I'm worried about the draw. But I think Breathless Times has got a crack in each way chance.
Right. Very interesting tips there from all three chaps. Right. We're going to go to the 3 o'clock at Doncaster now. This is the Pommery Champagne Stakes Group 2. And we have a short price favourite here in the Richard Hannon trained Threat, who won the Gym Crack at York's Ebor meeting last time. Niall, what are your prices?
So Threat is our 11-10 favourite. One Alcano is 3-1. Royal Crusade 7-2. Fort Myers 6-1. And Royal Dornock is 16-1.
And do you think the favourite's a good thing here, Niall?
No, I couldn't back him at the price myself. I'd be keen to take him on. I'm just not really sure about 7 furlongs for him. I don't really think he wants further than 6 furlongs. I know the trainer is pretty keen to step him up and think he's a guineas horse. I'm not so sure. Fort Myers was initially the one I was going to put up when I looked at the race a day or two ago. I just thought he'd improve for the trip. But I was kind of watching Powerful Breeze's run yesterday just to see if she got on for Royal Crusade, because they ran on the same card at Newmarket. And Powerful Breeze's time was better, but Royal Crusades didn't compare badly considering how easily he won. The 2nd from that race, it's a Richard Hanna horse, I can't remember the name of, has run okay since, so the form looks quite well. I don't fancy one out of Hanna at all. The time and form of last run doesn't look nothing special to me, and it hasn't worked out, as I said, the form. So yeah, Royal Crusade for me.
Okay. Threat stepping up in trip, DJ. Is that a concern for you?
No, and I'm a bit worried now because I have deep, deep respect for Niall O'Reilly, and I was hoping that he'd give Threat the Shine So Bright treatment. I was just praying he'd come and say this is certainty. To me, this is the one horse that I'd be shocked if it was beaten on Saturday. I'm complete different argument tonight. I think he's crying out for seven. I think he's been doing exceptionally well to be winning over six. I think he'll have no problem getting a mile when he strengthens up next year. To me, this is a big statement now, but I think he should be unbeaten in his career. I really do. I thought he was the best horse in the Coventry. He came from the furthest back. I thought he was on the wrong part of the track, had to go through a few gaps. And at Goodwood, I just thought, again, he was caught out in the wrong part of the track and raced a little bit freely there. I was very impressed. I know it looked a bit workmanlike last time at York, and he did what he had to do. He was a short price favourite. But to me, the first two stretch nicely clear, liked his attitude, think he's getting better with every run. Don't think this is a vintage renewal of the Champagne at all. Like, the horse that Royal Crusade beat was Hot Summer of Richard Hannon's. I was disappointed with Hot Summer at Kempton last time behind Riot. I know wasn't beaten that far, but only finished fourth. Think the rest of them are fairly middling. Like, if you were to get Aidan O'Brien to rank his two-year-olds from this season, Fort Myers and Royal Durnock, would they get into the top five or six? Would they get into the top 10? They might sneak into the top 10, I'd say. I don't think there are any great shakes. To me, this looks an absolute certainty, Trett.
Wow, so that's a strong opinion there from DJ. What do you think?
Threat is also I really like, and Richard Hannon loves him. I mean, he talks about him in the same bracket as all some of the greats that he's had, like Camford Cliffs, etc. So he really, really rates Threat. And, yeah, you can make excuses for when he was beaten, but I think he will stay seven furlongs, but I'm just not entirely sure that he should be odds on for this race. I think he should be favourite, but I've gone back through the videos and watched the race at Goodwood where he finished second to Golden Horde. Golden Horde obviously went out to finish third in that hot race at Deauville, the Group 1 race there. So I think that form is fairly solid. And Royal Dornock was third in that race behind Threat, and I think that over an extra furlong, there's a good chance that Royal Dornock can get a lot closer to Threat here. Royal Dornock was off the bridle there quite early at Goodwood, was caught on the outside, didn't get the greatest runs through, where Threat was always up there with Golden Horde in a perfect position. And yes, Threat finished second and Royal Dornock finished third, so Threat did finish ahead of him. But Royal Dornock was doing really good late work. I thought he shaped as though he would definitely improve for a step up in trip. He had a confidence boost in victory last time out. I think that Royal Dornock's massively overpriced against Threat. Don't get me wrong, I think Threat's the most likely winner. But Royal Dornock each way, even with only two places, makes some appeal for me.
Yes, Royal Dornock is progressing, that is for certain. Right, we'll move on now to the big race of the day. The 3:35 at Doncaster, the William Hill St. Ledger, the world's oldest classic, the 243rd running. And it's all about the favourite Logician here for Frankie Dettori and John Gosden. Very impressive winner of the Great Vulture Stakes at York. What price do you make him, Niall?
Logician is our 10-11 favourite at the moment. Sir Dragon is 11-4. Il Paradiso was 13-2. Saran Priestley 11-1. Dashing Will be 14-1. Ignition 14-1. And Nave Road is 33-1. Sorry, Western Australia 50-1 outsider.
Right, G-Rod. What do you make of the favourite here? Can he be beaten?
I was at York when he won and I was blown away by him. I thought he was very impressive. There was a bit of a cracksman about him. He was relentless. Once he sent him to the front, he just powered away and I thought he looked like an absolute certain St. Ledger winner. I think that Logician's going to be very, very difficult to beat, particularly if he makes another step forward from that run at York, which he should do, and the extra couple of furlongs look like they're going to be right up his street because he certainly wasn't stopping that day. But I couldn't recommend a bet on him at such a short price. And you might think I'm mad. I've already had Keith Melrose. I think he must think I'm mad. Our betting editor at Racing Post and a few others that I've spoken to also think I'm mad. But I'm going to back Western Australia here, the complete outsider of the field. Now, last time out in France, he didn't run that badly behind Japan. He finished last. He was pacemaking. He was sent four lengths clear after a couple of furlongs. And I thought he ran okay. Now, since then, he's had a long break, and Aidan O'Brien's reaching for the cheek pieces. And he has won over a mile and five furlongs, so I think he'll stay this extra distance.
He ran well, didn't he, the course last year?
Yes.
In the Futurity.
Michael Hussey rides him. I don't know a hell of a lot about him, but he did ride this horse, Western Australia, to finish third at the course last year in... what's it called? The Futurity Trophy or whatever it's called now. The race that used Futurity, used to be the Racing Post Trophy. And that form is right out there with any of this lot. I mean, he was third. Yeah, the winner was Magna Grecia, who's won a Guineas. The second was Phoenix of Spain, who's won an Irish Guineas. The fourth was Circus Maximus, who's a subsequent dual Group One winner. If the return to Doncaster can spark him back to form after a break, which might also help, and cheap pieces, and some of his best form is on quick ground, I can't see him being a 66s poke. We've got dead eight runners, three places, Western Australia, every chance he could run into the three behind Logician. If the race cuts up and there's a non-runner and there's not three places, then I'd be considering, you know, straight forecast or dual forecast with Logician and Western Australia, or even Western Australia without Logician. I just think that he is a massively overpriced horse on what he has achieved on his best form. Obviously, you have to take a massive flyer on him coming back to it, but I could just see it happening.
Gosh.
Yes.
I did the preview for this race this morning for the Racing Post, and I spoke to Aidan literally a half an hour ago. And it came to the ledger, and going through the runners, obviously, Sir Dragonet and Il Paradiso are much shorter in the betting. And it came to Western Australia, and as a journalist, you're trying to coax a little bit out of them, but I thought, like, there's no point. So I just said something along the lines of, and you have Western Australia in there as well, Aidan. He's been very disappointing, hasn't he? And he was at pains to tell me that you will see a completely, completely different horse tomorrow. He said that, I know, obviously, yeah, he's been a little bit disappointing, but he says, I guarantee you, you'll see a different horse tomorrow on that ground, over that trip, at that track that he's run so well at before. And he was, like, to be honest, I don't fancy him at all, but I can just back up your point. Aidan was sweeter than I expected on him, so I'm sure that's going to help a little bit. Now, I don't think he's good enough, but I just thought I'd aid your case there.
That doesn't happen very often, do you?
No, it doesn't. You're lucky he said he's got no chance. That wouldn't have been good. DJ, what do you think is going to win then? Not Western Australia, but who do you fancy?
Oh, I'm all over Sir Dragonet. I just think, like, if anybody heard Dunnock O'Brien's interview with Gary O'Brien from La Stole and Racing TV the other day, I don't think I've ever seen Dunnock like that. He basically went out of his way to say that Logician wasn't the horse to beat, that Sir Dragonet is the horse to beat. He's got the best form. He's been riding him in all his work at home. And one thing that people have to factor in here, I think, is this is probably going to be Dunnock O'Brien's last chance to win a classic. He won't be riding next year, I wouldn't say. And this is, like, on a horse like Sir Dragonet, who's lightly raced, and people are saying, oh, well, he stayed. It didn't look like he stayed in the Derby. Like, if you go back to his Chester Vaz win over a mile four and a bit, a strongly run race at Chester, and he was devouring the ground late. He hit the line hard. His debut was over a mile and four at Tipperary. I just think it was his class that made him travel so well in the Derby, to be honest with you. I think he is an exceptional racehorse, and I think Aidan O'Brien had the launch of Irish Champions Weekend a couple of weeks ago, and he was asked about Sir Dragonet, and he said that he couldn't be happier with where he is mentally and physically. He said he's finally got his mind right after the Derby, and I wouldn't read too much into his comeback at the Curragh over mile two. I think it was a case of, as Aidan always says, that they're just ready to start back, which means that, you know, there's plenty of improvement to come. Now, he was very well back that night, which was a little bit disappointing to see where he finished. But to me, with Dunnock aboard, he'll creep into contention. Like, that Derby run is, and the run at Chester, like, that's the best piece of form that we have on offer here. And to me, would I rather back 11-4 Sir Dragonet or even Money Logician? It's no contest whatsoever. I'll be surprised if Sir Dragonet doesn't win.
So DJ, pretty strong on Sir Dragonet. Niall, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree with Dave. I was listening to Graham's case there, and actually had a few quid in Western Australia each way as well. I do like that, actually, now. It's a fair point he made. But yeah, the one I like is Sir Dragonet. I like Logician, and it'll be difficult to beat, though I just think his best trip might be 12 furlongs. I'm not saying he won't stay, but I think there's a chance he might get outstayed by Sir Dragonet. Now, the worry for Sir Dragonet is the ground. If it was soft, I'd be all in at the price he is at the moment. He handled it okay in Epsom, where he probably just lacked the gear at the end of the race. I'm hoping this extra trip will help as well, obviously. His win at Chester was in a very good time. I think it was up there with the highest time figures recorded for any three-year-old stayers this year. And it was a real staying performance, like, as in, he was pulling away from them at the line. I like that Dunnock is back up, and he was interviewed yesterday. He seemed very confident on TV. He's definitely value at the price for me. I think he should be around 9-4, so I think there's 3-1 out there. So yeah, I'd be backing him.
Excellent. Okay, we'll be having a look at Leopardstown next.
So does an E-Trade bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Right, we're going to be having a look at more Group 1 action in a sec. But first, just to let you know, we have a very exciting book offer for you. It's the Racing Post Betting Guide. And it is now available to buy on racingpost.com/shop. Get your copy in as soon as you can. Some fascinating stuff edited by Tom Park, worth a really good read and worth keeping. So get that as soon as you can. Right now, we're going to move on to what's happening in Ireland. If you thought the action in Britain was good, take a look at this Irish Champions weekend. Part one taking place, as I said, at Leopardstown. Four group races, two group ones at the Dublin track. And we'll start off with the 340, which is a Paddy Power betting shop stakes, a group three. Dermot Wells has won four of the last five runnings in this, and I think he's got two runners in the event this year. Niall, what's the betting?
So Mount Everest is our 9-4 favourite. Buckhurst is 5-2. Leo de Fury 3-1. Guaranteed 9-1. Norway 11-1. Broad Street 12-1. Lane and Palace 15-1. Kelly's Dino 20. And Stivers is 33-1.
And DJ, we'll start off with you here.
Yeah, as you said, Dermot Wells, four of the last five, and I think six of the last nine, maybe, or something like that in this race. Of his in this, I thought Broad Street was interesting. I put him up as a dark horse a couple of weeks ago for this race. He's a lightly raced four-year-old who should have a bit more tougher. I thought he stayed on quite nicely behind Latrobe on his last visit to Leopardstown over this course and distance. Had won snugly enough at Goran Park the time before. Now, he's a double-figure price, and I think he'll run very well. I'm just not convinced he'll beat Buckhurst, to be honest with you, though. I think Buckhurst is a real improver who, to me, has been crying out for a step up to a mile and a half. Just love the way he's progressing, love the way he's been laid out by Joseph O'Brien. And he just basically ticks all the boxes for me. I think Mount Everest, spoke to Aidan, I'd say you'll see loads of improvement from Mount Everest. He had a couple of holdups in the spring. It's taken them a while to get him back. I'd imagine Mount Everest at his best would win this quite convincingly, but I'd say you'll see maybe a 60-70% Mount Everest here. And yeah, I think Buckhurst is going to be very hard to beat, but wouldn't put anybody off having a few quid each way on Broad Street.
Okay, Gerard?
Kelly's Dino for me, the British challenger for Carl Burke. That's a massive price. I'm absolutely amazed at such a big price, 20-1. Yeah, it's improving. Decent form this year in Britain. Won a hot handicap at Haydock, then was tried in group company at York over a mile 6.5 or whatever it is they have there, and was bang there with about 2 furlongs to run, travelling better than most, and I don't think stayed the distance, just was paddling inside the last couple of furlongs behind Red Verdon. Bounced back next time out at Newmarket when beaten Corelli by a narrow margin. Corelli's quite a useful handicapper trained by John Gosden. And then last time out, he ran in the Ebor, was well beaten in the Ebor. But again, I've already said, I don't think that the mile 6 furlong trip suits him. I think a mile and a half is ideal. And Carl Burke has reported that he thinks he might have swallowed his tongue that day. So I think you can pretty much put a line through that poor run in the Ebor. And I think if Kelly's Dino was coming in off the back of that win over Corelli at Newmarket, he'd be probably half the price that he is now. So Kelly's Dino for me at a big price.
Okay, Niall?
I priced this race on my own yesterday. I was kind of interested to hear what DJ was going to say. What he said about Mount Everest is putting me off that one. I know it's favoured at the moment, but maybe it shouldn't be. The one I'm going to come down on here is Norway. Now, he looks second string on jockey bookings, which is why this race was quite hard to price with Mount Everest in there. But he actually ran very well the last day when he was third behind Logician. And looking at the overall time of that race, he actually set quite a strong pace. If you look at some of his other form, he hasn't had that many goes on good to firm ground, which he should get tomorrow. It's definitely the fast side of good anyway. And on the pick of his form, he definitely have a chance here. I'm not sure Buckhurst and Leo de Fury and guaranteed. I don't think that form line is all that strong. So yeah, I'll just chance Norway at the prices potentially.
Okay. Right, next up we have Ireland's Premier Group 1, the Quipco Irish Champion Stakes at 4:15. Premier Group 1 for older horses taking on the three-year-olds. And what is the betting here now?
Yeah, Magical is our 15-8 favourite. Alarcum is 11-4. Edmund 4-1. Mad Moon 13-2. Anthony Van Dyke 8-1. Deirdre 10-1. Magic 1 25. And Hunting Horn is 100-1.
Right, G-Rod, Aidan O'Brien has won this race 7 times, but never with a filly or mare. Do you think Magic could be his first one?
Well, you see, this is the sort of race that I like, really, because, you know, Magical, she's a real solid option in Grade 1 company. You know, she runs a race, but she's always vulnerable to a real top-class performer. And she's come across a couple of those on her last 3 starts. She's finished behind Crystal Ocean and then Enable a couple of times. And I just think she is the sort of horse that's always going to run well in this sort of company, but will be vulnerable to a horse with the X factor. And the similar comments apply to Elakam as well, who ran a cracker last time out at York, when he might well have beaten them both, Japan and the other horse, Crystal Ocean, had he not run out of room in the final few strides. I mean, he was finishing really well. But again, he is another horse that we know an awful lot about, and he's really completely exposed, and I think he is vulnerable to a top class Group 1 performer, and I think there is a potentially top class Group 1 performer in this race in the shape of Headman, who has been an absolute revelation this season for Roger Charlton. Comes in off 2 impressive victories in France in Group 2 company on soft ground, but I don't really think that's his conditions. He was withdrawn from Royal Ascot due to unsuitable ground. So Connections obviously feel that he wants a decent surface. And I think you'll see a much better Headman here, granted better ground. Obviously, he does need to improve because the likes of Magical and Elakam set a high standard. But he is the 3-year-old in the race. He is the unexposed runner. He is the potentials with the X factor for me. So it's Headman for me in the Champion Stakes.
And of course, the Roger Charlton stable won this 2 years ago. Roger Charlton training Headman. Niall, who do you think?
I initially approached the race trying to oppose Magical, because I do agree with some of what Graham said. But the more I dug into the race, the more I started to fancy her. If you take out Enable, she'd be fighting out for best racehorse in the world this year. I don't think the form of anything else in the race can compare to hers at the moment. She's drawn in 3 with Hunting Horn and Anthony Van Dyke on her inside and Magic Wand, who I'd imagine will go forward and on our outside. So I think she'll get like a really, really nice race and position, which can be crucial at Leopardstown. Mad Moon is in between them, and I could see him having a troubled passage with all the Maiden O'Brien horse around him. Headman is the potential improver, and he's one I'd consider backing if he was a much bigger price. Like, I actually priced the race there, and I was closer to 6-1. So I think he'd be getting bigger than 4-1 that's around tomorrow, unless I'm completely wrong. He just looks to have a lot that finds me, like with the likes of Magical. Elakam could be improving, but he's just not a horse I've ever bought into. And I think he might have been slightly flattered at York as well. So yeah, Magical for me. If I got 2-1 tomorrow or so, I would definitely be backing.
Okay. DJ, no question, Magical's been slightly unlucky to come up against Enable a couple of times this season. Do you think that this is a good opportunity for her to go one better?
Oh, it certainly is a good opportunity. You know, the makeup of the race, I'm sure when the entries came out, if Aidan was told this was the final field and, you know, Magical was his number one, he'd be pretty happy. But I'm taking her on. I disagree with Graham. I've agreed with him a lot today, but I'm going to disagree with him here. I think Elakam is not exposed at all. I don't think we've seen the best of Elakam yet. To me, like, I don't know how Niall can say he was flattered by the run at York, because that was everything Elakam isn't. Caught up between horses with no space to maneuver. He's a big, long galloping stride. And it was only when you got to see him in the Sky Bet York Stakes, when he was allowed to devour the ground, that he beat Adeb on Adeb's like proper ground. And he absolutely obliterated him. I thought that was an exceptional performance. And if you go to our RPRs, on his last 2 starts, Elakam has posted RPRs of 1-2-2 and 1-2-3, identical to Magical's last 2 RPRs against Enable. So that tells you that he's actually reached that level already. And I think he reached that level at York without being able to show what he was made of. To me, if ever there was a track made for a horse, it is Elakam and Leopardstown, because there's a few O'Brien pacemakers in there, obviously. You'd imagine Hunting Horland lead. And I think Jim Crowley will try and sit second or third, trying to be the first to pounce. Because I think we've seen at York 2 starts ago in that Group 2, what Elakam can do when he actually hits the front a bit earlier. They know now that they've got a guaranteed stay over 10 furlongs. The fact that they've supplemented him for the race, even though Mad Moon is in there for Shea Camden, speaks volumes, if you ask me. He must have been working well since the Judmont. And I can see Jim Crowley picking it up on the home turn, trying to pinch maybe a length or two off Magical. And just his style of running and that powerful stride, I think he's going to be very hard to catch. To me, we're only getting to see the real Eller Cam now. I think he's thriving on racing. And I think on Saturday, he's going to prove that he's a proper, proper Group 1 performer over 10 furlongs. I'm very sweet on Eller Cam.
Strong case there for LR Cam in the Champion Stakes. Right, 4:50, we have the Clipper Logistics Boomerang Stakes. This is a Group 2 over a mile. Niall, how do you price this race up?
Can I just explain my LR Cam comment about being flattered? He was obviously unlucky watching it visually, but just Crystal Ocean, I thought, ran about 8 to 10 pounds below form. And it didn't go that hard. The overall time wasn't great. So I just thought he's flattered by, like, racing post rating, having run into a career best. They all kind of finished in a little bunch behind. And I'm not sure how good Japan is. I thought Crystal Ocean was below form. So that was my thought on being flattered. But it is a good run, no matter what way you look at it. Sorry, we can just move on. I just wanted to explain that. the next race. Lancaster Heister. Lancaster Heister, 2-1 favoured. Matterhorn is 7-2. Wadoff, 4-1. Space Traveller, 4-1. Surrounding 8-1, Pincheck 14-1, Ancient Spirit 25-1, Turnberry Isle 33-1, and Carl Beach is 33-1.
What did you make of this race, Niall?
Oh, yeah, this is the hardest race in the card for me. I tried pricing it yesterday. Lancaster House has the potential to be the best of these. It's just very hard to know how good he is. He obviously won at the Stowell on, was it Monday, very easily. I couldn't really back him at that sort of price. The one I'm going to chance is Space Traveller. Because there's plenty of pace on here with Matterhorn, Lancaster House, and like surrounding likely to be prominent. I just thought Space Traveller would be kind of dropped in and come for a late closing run, and he's probably won a chance at the prices, but not overly confident.
Okay, DJ, what do you think?
I can guarantee I know what Graham fancies. I can guarantee you. I just about fancy Matterhorn, just because he's relatively consistent. He's a tough Mark Johnson performer. I'm hoping this will be the second leg of a big double. Oisin Murphy takes the ride. Drawn and stalled 5. I'd imagine if he does get to the front and gets to dictate his own fractions, he could just pinch a couple of lengths on the home turn. And I think he could be hard to catch because I don't think it's the greatest of Group 2s. In fact, it's not. It's not a great Group 2. But I am convinced that Graham is going to tip the winner of this race 2 years ago. Am I right, Graham?
What was that? Soudoir?
Soudoir.
No, you're wrong, actually. You're wrong. I sort of feel a bit like Niall about this race. I think that it's very, very tough. I thought that Lancaster House was the potentials with that X factor, you know, the potential Group 1 horse in the race. Obviously, he's been very impressive on all his starts, but he's a short enough price. Not convinced by Soudoir. He's an 8-year-old. I think he might be vulnerable to the improvers. Matterhorn is obviously a solid option. And if I had to bet in the race, I would back Space Traveller for the same reasons that Niall said. But I think Lancaster House will win. So does that make any sense? I don't know. It's not really a betting race for me.
Graham is going to say Graham Rodway, the solid option.
Does that make any sense?
Solid G-Rod, we'll say. We're going to have a look at the 525 next at Leopardstown. That's the Coolmore Fastnet Rock Matron Stakes. Another Group 1. This one's for fillies and mares. And we've got Lawrence here looking to record another win in the race following her famous success 12 months ago. What's the betting here, Niall?
She's our 13-8 favourite. Hermosa's 9-4. I Can Fly 11-2. Iridesa 8-1. Skitter Scatter 8-1. Happen 20-1. And Just Wonderful is 25-1.
DJ, Lauren's might have been a bit of a lucky winner last year. Do you think she can do it again, though?
Yeah, she just wins, doesn't she? Like, I was going through the race, and I don't think I've ever backed Lauren's in my lifetime. And we were just talking in the office here earlier, and we were talking about Lauren's, and a few of the lads were like, yeah, I just can't seem to catch her right. And just go through our form, like, and like, it's just very, very hard to see how she doesn't win if she repeats her performance in the race last year. She beat Alpha Centauri. Alpha Centauri obviously could pick up a little bit of an injury in the race, but when you go through our form, like, Niall backs up the times at York with Shine So Bright, who, if I had another go at that race after hearing what Niall said about Shine So Bright, I probably would have tipped Shine So Bright. But you just go through the race and you say to yourself, well, you know, she's so uncomplicated. She'll sit handy. She's won at Leopardstown. She ran perfectly respectable last time. She's perfectly drawn in stall 2. She's been laid out for the race. Carol Burke has said that this has been her prime target all season, even though she's been running so well. Just hard to find a box that she doesn't tick. And I know she's 13-8, but Hermosa's coming into the race on the back of an absolutely deplorable run at Goodwood. Now, I mean, it was the pits. And obviously she didn't handle Goodwood, but is that to blame for running so poorly? I don't know. Iridesa definitely needs further. The one that I think will run really well is Skitter Scatter, who beat Hermosa in the Meugler on this weekend last year. Perfectly respectable comeback after pulling her hamstring in the 2000 Guineas at Newmarket. I think she'll run really, really well. If she's a double figure price, that should be taken because she deserves to be a lot shorter. I think this is straightforward. I think Lawrence will win, and I think Skitter Scatter will give her most to think about.
Yes, I'm still counting the cost of that Hermosa run at Goodwood. Very expensive that day. G-Rod?
Yeah, I was at Goodwood that day when Hermosa ran, and I think that I can explain her poor run in that she was really, really warm and het up before the race. She got very, very wound up as they were going down to the start past me. She was very, very sweaty, and again, in the race, she obviously got taken on for the lead by Frankie on Medei and pulled her chance away. It obviously wasn't her form, and I think that might have been why. But even on her previous form, I don't really fancy Hermosa to beat Lawrence. I'm not a massive Lawrence fan. I know that she's a great, you know, really tough and genuine type who always runs her race and that. But I think she falls short of the absolute top level grade one, group one races. But then this is not an absolute top level group one race. This is a fillies race, a fillies group one. And I think Lawrence is very, very hard to beat. In this sort of race, I expect Lawrence will go very, very close. If I had to back against her, I would back Iridesa, who disappointed last time in the Irish Oaks, probably didn't see out the distance, and was previously quite impressive when winning, I think they call it the Pretty Polly or something like that. Yeah, the Group 1 race over a mile and a quarter. But she definitely wants further than a mile, and the only way I could see her picking Lawrence up late is if Lawrence got involved in a battle with Hermosa early, and then they softened each other up, and maybe Iridesa could come and pick them off late. That's a potential scenario, but I think Lawrence will probably win.
Right, the lad's finding it difficult to look beyond the favourite here. Niall, are you of the same opinion?
Yeah, I think Lawrence will win that. What Dave was saying earlier, like I mentioned the times from that Shine So Bright race, like she was given Shine So Bright a penalty. So to do what she did that day, I think that was a massive effort over 7 furlongs. She obviously won this last year. Hermosa, as Dave said, you couldn't back her off that last run. I Can Fly, she just can't win. Iridesa, the trip's too short. Skitter Scatter has been way below last season's form this year, so I couldn't have her. Happen, just not good enough. Just Wonderful, not good enough. Like, this is a certainty. Between that and Shine So Bright, yeah, that's I really fancy the two of them. But yeah, Lauren's here for me.
Excellent. So Lauren's all the way. Come on, Lauren's. Right, other race meetings on Saturday. There's plenty going on all around the country in the UK and in Ireland, as well as Doncaster and Leopardstown. We, as I mentioned, got Chelmsford and Chester, Lingfield as well, Bath, Musselburgh. We've also got the final day of the Harvest Festival at Listowel. Chaps, any other selections? Obviously not including your naps, G-Rod?
Yeah, I'll spin through them very quickly because we're in danger of going on forever. 2:15 at Lingfield, Banter Bay is a course and distance winner and ran well at the track last time out over an inadequate distance. I think Banter Bay will bounce back in the 2:15 at Lingfield. In the 3:15 at Chester, Hot Heels is a horse that I've been waiting to switch to nurseries for quite some time. Ran really well at the track 2 runs ago when behind Ocasio-Cortez. And then last time out was on the all-weather, stayed on quite eye-catchingly. Looked sure to improve in handicaps. In the 3:20 at my local track, Chelmsford, I've got one there. It's called In the Cove for Richard Hannon. Looked a much improved performer last time out when fitted with blinkers. Has only gone up £2 for that win. Is back down to 7 furlongs and is a much better horse on the all-weather than turf. So I think In the Cove will win the 3:20 at Chelmsford. And the last race at Leopardstown, Jassar was impressive when winning at the Curragh last time, coming wide. It's got a better draw here in stall 5. Looks to be improving. I don't see the drop to 7 furlongs being a problem for Jassar in the 6 o'clock at Leopardstown.
Lots of selections there from G-Rod. DJ, what have you got?
Just 2. You'll be glad to hear. Yeah, because we could be into Sunday by the time we finish.
Yeah, we could be.
I'm going to try and top and tail the Leopard-Sen card in the 155. I think Raven's Cry is a rapidly improving filly for Paddy Toomey and Billy Lee. Really impressed with her last time at the Stowell. Think she could develop into potentially a classic contender for next season. I think she's that good. So Raven's Cry, I think at the moment she is 5-2 of Paddy Power. Could see her going off a bit shorter. Raven's Cry in the 155. And in the final race, the 6 o'clock, the Sovereign Path Handicap, Silver Code has been second in this race for the last 2 years in a row. Second off 99, second off 91. And now he's down to a mark of 83 as he tries to make a third time lucky. And I just think the race is tailor-made for him. Likes Leopardstown, has obviously been laid out for the race. Had a pipe opener over an adequate 6 furlongs at the Curragh last time. I'd imagine this has been the plan all season. It's a big, valuable handicap at a track he loves over a trip he loves. And he's down to a really, really workable mark now. If you, like, it's hard to believe he's £16 lower than when he was second in the race 2 years ago. So Silver Code, 13-2 with Paddy Power. The value is probably a little bit gone, but I think Silver Code will be very hard to beat in the 6 o'clock at Leopardstown.
Great stuff. And anything from you, Niall?
Yeah, I just have two. The 2:30 Leopardstown, Tony Martin has a brilliant recent record in this race, and Shared the Honour would look very interesting to me. He should have won it 2 years ago with the Mouse Doctor, who got no run. He was very unlucky. He finished fourth. And 3 years ago, Quick Jack won the race and Pyromaniac was second. So it's clearly a racy target. Like, the race is worth about 88 grand to the winner, so I can see why. Shared the Honour's been a bit frustrating. So he ran, he's been a bit frustrating at times. So he's off a mark of 77 and he's run really well off a mark before. He won at the Galway Festival last year in a competitive handicap off a few pounds lower. He carries just 8 stone 8 and he's booked Wayne Lorden, who's a brilliant lightweight jockey, probably the best around. He's drawn 4. And providing he doesn't get too far back, I think he'd have a huge chance. 3:15 Chester. Praxeology is just a horse that's beating him with Tracker. He went too hard at Goodwood 2 starts ago, and I think they've found a good opportunity here, dropping back 5 furlongs on slower ground for Mark Johnson, who obviously does well at Chester. So yeah, that's Praxeology, 3:15 Chester.
Thank you, Niall. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
DJ?
LRCAM, 4:15 Leopardstown.
Okay, Niall?
I'm just going to do a double. Shine So Bright, 225 Doncaster, and Lawrence, 525 Leopardstown.
Right, okay. And G-Rod?
Would you believe we haven't mentioned it yet, but in the 405 at Musselburgh, my best bet of the day is Queen of the Clyde for Cole Burke. This one needs to get a penalty to get into one of the nurseries next week, Air, and I know that Cole Burke has had that in mind for quite some time. So Queen of the Clyde will be desperate to win the 405 at Musselburgh.
Queen of the Clyde for G-Rod, making over that. Right, let's have a look at Sunday's action next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Right, welcome back. We're going to have a look at Sunday's racing now, and it's day 2 of Irish Champions Weekend, taking place at the Curragh this time, and the main race there is the Group 1 Coma Group International Irish St Ledger at 4:10. And Kew Gardens is back following his second in the Coronation Cup back in May. What is the betting here, Niall?
So Kew Gardens is our second favourite. The Cross Counter, who's our 9-4 favourite. Kew Gardens 11-4. The Free 7-1. The Trobe 8-1. Sorry, Southern Francis 7-1. Salawan 10-1. Search for Song 12-1. Master Reality 16-1. Pilot Payment 16. And Cypress Creek is 50.
Okay, and what's your selection?
I couldn't form much of an opinion here. I've just been disappointed with Cross Counter the last time in particular. Kew Gardens is coming off a break, so it's hard to know. One I'll probably chance each way is the Trobe. He was obviously second in the race last year, and he's just kind of steadily been improving with each run this year. He's 8-1 with ourselves. I think that's worth a small each way bet with the 9 runners.
Okay, and G-Rod?
I didn't really like the look of the race from a betting perspective because I fancied also I thought was going to be favourite, although Niall's got Cross Counter in his favourite. I fancy Kew Gardens for Aidan O'Brien. I just think that this horse has got a class edge on the rest of them. He's second behind Defoe. Epsom has obviously been franked by Defoe going out and winning at Royal Ascot next time. And I think that he's got a bit of pace about him for a horse that runs over a mile and 6 furlongs. He might just be too quick for them, Kew Gardens.
Okay, is Kew Gardens a class act for you, DJ?
Oh, this is a nightmare of a race, James. I think it's one of these where you go through and we all have backed all of them at some stage in our careers, I'd imagine, and you can make excuses for them all. But to be honest, most of them have been pretty disappointing. They look like being top-notch stayers and they haven't really progressed. I kind of hate myself for this, but the one I'll probably chance is Capri. Just because I looked back at the Gold Cup at Ascot again during the week, and he travels incredibly sweetly for 2 miles and 2 furlongs of that race, as well as anything, as well as Stradivarius, and it just looked like he was a blatant non-stayer over 2.5 miles. Now, obviously, you go back to his St. Ledger form, over 1.6 miles, and he's beaten Crystal Ocean and Stradivarius. He's not a shadow of that horse now, and he could just be taking the piss, like, because it looks as though he's just not producing what he's supposed to produce. But I just go back to that Ascot race, and there was just still a glimmer of light there with Capri. And Jockey Buchan's wouldn't fill you with confidence. Pádraic Beggy is riding Capri. Suggests he's not the first, second, or third choice from the O'Brien stable, but I just think he's got something, and he's just one that you could chance at a double figure price. I know he's only 7-1 with Paddy Power, but he's double figures elsewhere, so I'm going to chance Capri. I can see where Niall is coming from with Latrobe. Like, Dunica would have had the choice of a couple of O'Briens. Obviously, Ryan is on Kew Gardens. He probably could have rode Capri, could have rode Southern France. And the fact that he's on Latrobe, this happened when Latrobe won the Irish Derby. You know, he could have ridden a couple of others of Aidens that day, like Rostropovich and that. So I think it is a big message that Dunica's on Latrobe. So if you want to back Latrobe, that is a ringing endorsement. But, oh, I hate myself, but I'm going to probably chance Capri.
Capri for DJ. There you are. Right, we're in danger of being hit or dark. There's been so much to talk about. So we'll do a roundup now of the Sunday action. Obviously, a massive card at the Curragh. There are three other Group 1s to look at, as well as other smashing races on the card. It's also ARC Trials Day at Longchamp. The ARC now less than a month away, so some really crucial contests there. And in the UK, we've got racing from Fosslass and Bath. So lots to look at. G-Rod, who has caught your eye on Sunday?
Well, the rest of the races at the Curragh, I thought that you know, the favourites might win Pinatubo, the National Stakes, the 3.35. In the 2.25, just interesting to see Invincible Army dropping back to 5 furlongs. Now, he's got a lot of form winning over 6 furlongs, but he showed loads of pace when up with Hello Yume Zane in the Haydock Sprint Cup last week, and was run out of second only in the last half furlong. I think that drop back to a stiff 5 furlongs might suit Invincible Army. I could see him running well each way against the favourite Sophia, although if Sophia does run to the same level that she did at the course last time, she's probably going to blow them away. In England, the two horses that caught my eye in England both ran in the same race last time out, and I think it was a hot race, and they both ran at Fosslass, and that race was at Fosslass. In the 4.20 at Fosslass, Sincerity won over the course and distance last time. James Fanshawe looks a typical improver for the Fanshawe stable. There should be plenty more to come from Sincerity. Stayed on very, very strongly towards the end of that race. I'll be disappointed if she isn't up to following up in the 4.20 at Fosslass, Sincerity. And behind her last time was a horse called Just Once, who finished third behind her over 1 mile and 2 furlongs that day. Missed the break, did absolutely everything wrong, and stayed on really powerfully to finish third behind Sincerity. That was a Class 5 race that I think was a strong Class 5 race for the grade, and I fancy Sincerity to win a Class 4. So if I fancy then I do have to fancy Just Once, who drops to Class 6 company here, and he's stepped up to 2 furlongs in trip to 1 mile and 4 furlongs, and Just Once was doing all of his best work at the finish over 1.25 miles at the track last time. So maybe back them both in singles and a double. That's Sincerity 4.20 at Fosslass, and Just Once 5.35 Fosslass.
Wow, you've given absolutely everything a real good look this weekend, haven't you? Very impressive
I'm
research.
I'm going to be absolutely skint if I don't have a winner.
I hope it works out for you. Otherwise, I might not see you again. DJ, fascinating racing, isn't it? That National Stakes at 3.35, what a race that is.
Yeah, it would have been even better if Siskin ran, but it's a cracker, yeah. I'm kind of sweet on a couple of big prices. In the 1.20, that Bold Lad Sprint Handicap, I've been really, really looking forward to a horse run in this race for a long time. It's called Primo Umo, who's trained by Gerald Leary. Now, Primo Umo is a 7-year-old, and you'll say, ah, sure, that's an exposed sprinter with little chance, but he doesn't run into handicaps too often. He warmed up for the race at Navan last week over 5 and was last off the bridle in a decent handicap that was won by City Man. We spoke to the trainer here before the previews, and it seemed to be a stepping stone for this race, which I was delighted with. Again, this was one of the dark horses I put up a couple of weeks ago in the Racing Post. To me, like, he's down from 106 to 101 this season, but he's been kept relatively fresh. Like, he's been running against LS Astronaut, Sergei Prokofiev. He ran against Blue Point. He ran against Blue Point at Ascot last season. And to me, when these real top-notch sprinters, or certainly group sprinters, when they come back down into a handicap for the first time, I think it gives them a new lease of life. And I think this Primo Uno has been trained with this race in mind. Conditions should be perfect. He's stepping up to six, which is a little bit of a concern. I think he'll just about get it, but he'll be a huge price. And I think he's been laid out for the race. And I think he's a rattling good sprinter. I think the older he's getting, the better he's getting. And he's down to a workable mark now of 101. So Primo Uno, number two in the 120. In the Flying Five, which is at 225. I think the forgotten horse of the race has hit the bid for Darren Bunyan and Chris Hayes. Like, he's a 16-1 shot. Is he that inferior to Sophia, who's favoured? I'm not convinced he is. Like, he's been running against Blue Point across in Maidan for a while, and we probably haven't seen the best of him on home soil. But he ran well in the race last year behind Havana Gray. His trainer thinks he's a better horse this year. I thought he travelled really well at Tipperary on his comeback. He's a 16-1 shot. Don't think he deserves to be 16-1. I think he'll run much better than his odds suggest. Let's hit the bid in the 225. In the Meiglair Stud Stakes at 3 o'clock, Jessica Harrington has got all the top-notch juvenile fillies. And the fact that she's chosen Albania for this race speaks volumes, I think. I think how she won over six last time is absolutely remarkable. She traded at a huge price in running and stayed on very strongly. I think the step up to seven is really going to suit her here. And I think she's going to be very hard to beat, Albania. And finally, in the final race on the card, which is the 6 o'clock, it is the Northfields Handicap. I think the Galway hurdle winner, Tudor City, is going to be hard to beat here. Just thought last time at York, things didn't really go to plan for Tudor City. Sean Davis takes off a valuable claim here, and I still think he's reasonably well handicapped on the flat. He's only rated 80. He's much higher. He's in the 140s now over hurdle. So Tudor City in the 6 o'clock.
Okay, and Niall, your Sunday best.
Yeah, just the 3:35 the curve, the national stakes. Pinatube was obviously a certain here, but the one I'm going to back without in the forecast is Arizona. I just don't fancy Armory. His win the last day the curve was in a terrible time, and he ever looked like getting beat. But the second is not that good a horse in my opinion. So yeah, Pinatube with a forecast with Arizona in the 3 o'clock the curve. I'm going to disagree with DJ. I'm quite strong on Daya here. On the face, which she was disappointing last time. When you look at the time, it was actually a career best by some margin, in my opinion. Raffle Prize obviously won the race and went out in Frank the Form in France. The time that the Daya recorded was only marginally slower than Penn Sovereigns, who won the July Cup the following day with faster sectionals. So I think it was a very big performance for a two-year-old. Raffle Prize obviously could go on to better things as well. Albania has been putting up useful sectionals over six, as Dave said. But yeah, I just think her form's a bit off Daya's. So yeah, it'd be Daya for me in that race. That's it.
Okay. We've made it. Guys, thank you so much for all of that. Wonderful racing, lots to look forward to. Hope we've whetted your appetite for the next few days. That's it from us. Don't forget, if you like these shows, don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening from. Also, if you'd like to look at our YouTube channel, please give your fancies for the weekend, let us know. Maddie and the gang will be back on Monday to look back at what's happened over the weekend. I'm sure there'll be plenty of talking points. But until then, have a great weekend's racing. Good luck with your punting, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.